Gittel Bas from Naftali Nisham Shav Neliya, hopefully our Simcha, Nachis, and Bracha, and also the Weinig family, the Ilu Nishmas, Mechel Ben Moshe, Nisham Shav Neliya, Simcha, Nachis, and Bracha. All right, let's finish the Maimer of Sholem Hadeyas, where it says, V'rak mimayon ha'ilomi ha'elyon. Almost at the end of this Maimer. I don't know if it's safe what page it is.
96
on the bottom, where it says, V'rak mimayon ha'ilomi ha'elyon. In this sentence, Rav Kook is, every word of this sentence is will be recognizable to you as Midas HaYesod. He's talking about the Midas HaYesod. This is really what we're learning about in the Chaburus Yosef HaTzadik. The union of making peace between people, ideas, within oneself, which we're going to talk about in the next Maimer in a few minutes in Mitzvah Hashem. Different values of good, bad, right, wrong, and so on. One has to go back to the Yesod from which everything came. And the Yesod from which everything came, of course, is Rosh HaDeachad, Hashem, Echad. That's the Sherish, the root of all. And only to the extent that a person is able to go back to dig deep and get to that place of Hashem Echad, which is HaTov HaKloli. And in that Tov HaKloli of Hashem, there's room for all of these conflicting ideas. There's room for all of the conflicting emotions and so on. It's just how each one fits in to the Ratzon Hashem to bring out, to bring about the Gilui of that Tov HaKloli, of that Tov, as Hashem defines what Tov is. For that, one can only reach there through Torah Bechlal, or Befrat, by learning in great depth Pnimius HaTorah, Rosei Torah, the secrets of Torah. So this sentence from Rav Kook is V'rak mima'ayon ha'olami ha'elyon, from that ma'ayon, that wellspring. These are words of the Midah of Yesod. Mimkor tzadiko shel olam, from the source of the tzaddik of the world, meaning Hashem. Also, tzaddik is the Midah of Yesod. Mimkor roish tzaddik, roish tzaddik, from the mimkor roish tzaddik. These are Kabbalah. These are very fine chilukim in Kabbalah. We're not going to go into mishom habrochos shofos, from that Yesod, the Midah of Yesod, from tzaddiko shel olam, from Hashem, who is the wellspring of all creation. All brachas flow. Misham habrachas shofos. Shakli hamachzik bracha lekulon hu hashalom. As Chazal tell us, that the kli, that container, that kli, that's machzik bracha, that is able to contain all bracha, is only shalom. And shalom is also the midah of Yesod. The midah of Yesod. The makor from which everything comes. So the tree has all different branches. And on this tree, there are different kinds of flowers and fruits that grow. The makor, the ma'ayan, the yesod, the tzaddik, that is the makor of all that bracha, is the tzaddik shel olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Avinair explains, look inside. Ribono shel olam matzdik es hakol, bonus hakol b'tzaddik. The Baruch Shalom has a place for everything, and Baruch Shalom b'tzadik, and he is constructing and building everything b'tzadik. Umkor tzadiko shel olam novos harbe brachas, and from that makor of the tzadik of Hashem, tzadiko shel olam, the mid of Hashem kivyochel is tzadiko shel olam novos harbe brachas. All brachas flow. Erech musari kazeh v'acher. Therefore, from the tzaddik there flows all different arachim with Musa, meaning all different values come from that same makar. V'kol habrachas kulan mistafos misharish echad. They all grow out of one root. V'akli amachzik es habrachu hashalom. And the kli that is able to hold all of this bracha is shalom. Tchilas Hashalom ben Hanoshim, who b'Shalom ben Hatchanim Hamusarim, Hamshel v'Fachad Imo, Eis Hashalom b'Remayim. We see this Midah of Hashem that we say in davening and all the time, Eis Hashalom b'Remayim. Hu yasa shalom aleinu. Shalom means the yisod. What does it mean? Oisa shalom b'marimav. So Chazal teach, derish b'akapara, godl hu shalom. Shalom is great. Shamalochim ein b'nehem lo eva v'lo kina. Now the angels, the malochim, whatever that means, but a malach is, but we do know that there's a malach Michael, which is the midah of chesed, and there's a malach gavril, which is the midah of din. And so too you have all the different malachim, and each malach is a different koach. And nevertheless, Chazal say, ein b'nehem lo eva v'lo kina, there's no hatred, there's no jealousy. V'loy sinner, v'loy minus, v'loy tacharus, v'loy machloikas. None of these things, no machloikas. They're not competing one with the other. Tachos means competition. They're not competing one with the other. Shagadosh Baruch Hu, who aise imam shalom. Gosh Baruch Hu, who is the tzaddik, Gosh Baruch Hu is aise imam shalom. Ma tam brings the pasuk that he just brought before. Hamshel v'fachad ima ha'yaisah shalom v'rimayimov. Hamshel ze michol, pachad ze gavil. Hamshel is alluding to the malach michol, which is chesed. Pachad fear is the malach gavil, which is din. V'loy ze machzik eze. Mehen shel eish, mehen shel mayim. There are malachim of fire, there are malachim of water. Now normally water and fire don't get along with each other. Water extinguishes fire. When you have in the same room people that have opposing ideas and certainly opposing values, they tend to extinguish each other. They put each other out. They put each other down. They can't be servile each other. They can't be servile each other. Fire and water. The Gemara says that if you in Brachas, that when you have a dream, you know, the Gemara talks about all different dreams and says if you dream of a pot, then yitzapel l'shalom. That means that there's peace that's coming into your life. So Rav Moshe Benetz recently said that because a pot makes shalom between fire and water. That's what the pot does. Because you cook something in the pot, and the pot was able to make shalom that the fire and the water are working together for a common goal, which is a soup. So it's working together, the fire and the water. Yitzapel l'shalom. But in this world, fire and water... It's machlokes. Man and a woman, fire, water, machlokes, very, very hard. So Chazal say, "Lo zeh machzik zeh, mehen shel eish, mehen shel mayim. V'ne odem sheyesh b'nehem kol hamidas halalu alachas kama v'kama." There's no kli other than shalom that can hold together these opposing forces of fire and water. And all the other midas that hold them together. It's only the tzaddikah shel olam, Kadosh Baruch Hu is melech shahasholom shelo, and that inin of shalom is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the root, and he's able to, and through Hakadosh Baruch Hu, what is good about the fire and what is good about the water is able to, through the pot, to make something delicious. That's only through the midah of shalom. So Rav Avner explains, this, what we say in davening, that Hashem makes shalom in the higher world, it's referring to these malachim that have opposing koiches. Gavriel, Eish, Michal Maim, Ribbon Shalom, Oysa Shalom Beneihem. The Ribbon Shalom is the wellspring from which everything comes, the fire and the water. He's noisei kol ha'afachim, and he carries these opposites within him. And he makes shalom. Im ev shalasa shalom be'elyonim, ditin lasa gam betachtonim. And the one who can make shalom in the higher world, can make shalom in the lower world. Ulam ha'shalom enenu vatranus hadadis, refuya. Shalom does not mean conceding because of weakness. In other words, one way to make sure, so when you have a milchama, there's a war. So the war is between the Germans, Yimach Shemayim, and the Americans. And then the Germans or the Japanese, they surrender. So they surrendered. So, and by surrendering it means that they have to give up and they have to concede, and through surrendering they have to give up territory, they have to give up certain privileges, and they, most of all, they have to give up their own values and priorities. The Germans had a very chashuv value, which was to rule the world and destroy every Jew in the world, and they didn't care too much for blacks and for gays and for anybody that was different from them either, so everybody was going to be killed. That was their value, and Germany lost. So as a result of Germany losing, they came there, the Rishoyim, and they had to sign papers with the Allied forces, and the Germans signed the papers, and as a result of that, there was now peace in the world. But this peace that they made was a peace, this peace came as a result of the loser surrendering and giving up all that it believed in, because otherwise they were going to be destroyed. And that musag of peace is generally how things work in the world. I once mentioned to you, I had a friend of mine, his name is Aaron, and he married a girl, we were the same age, we grew up together, he married a girl, Zahava. So one of the chevra was asked to say something by Shavuot Brachos. So by Shavuot Brachos. So one of my friends, one of the guys got up and he said, Ari is the gematria 211, you know, and Zahava is what? Zahava is very little, right? So Zahava is whatever, 13, 14, whatever it comes out to be, 18. So that we learned from here that Ari wins. Good job. Good Shabbos. He said, good Shabbos. And that was it. And everybody just sat there. It was the best Shavuot Brachos talk ever. Ari wins. That's how it is in this world. And the one who loses, that's called Shalom. That's called Shalom. You'll have a person, you'll have some kind of a tough guy, he's not a particularly nice and gewaldige husband, and he says, by us, there's tremendous shalom bias by us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you talk to your wife's therapist about the shalom bias. Mm-hmm. The shalom bias means that she's just been defeated. She was defeated 30, 40 years ago. She was defeated by her loudmouthed, nasty husband. So she was defeated, and that's called shalom. That's called shalom. I mean, she gave up all that she wanted in life. She gave up all that she believed in is important, because she realized that I can't mess with this guy because he's going to kill me. So that's called shalom. That's most of the shalom in the world. That's how it is. Between companies, between businesses, when they make shalom, but to make shalom between countries in the world, there's shalom now with the Arab Emirates, there's shalom. It's all, isn't that, the musag of shalom in the world is not pnimius of shalom. It's not going back to that sherish of echad. It's exactly what Rav Avinir is writing here. Hashalom einenu vatranut. Vatranut means giving up, surrendering, compromising, and so on. Hadad is that they both give in a little bit. They make some concessions. You make peace. So this one gives a little bit like this. This one gives a little like that. Refuya, which is very, very weak, because those contracts, like the earlier philosophers at the time of the Reformation, when they were talking about, when they're talking about the social contract, and the philosophers, Rousseau and Locke, all that chevra, and the whole meaning of a social contract, and the social contract hasn't been able to keep people from killing each other. All the social contracts in the world have not been able to make shalom. And even here in America, which is the most wonderful democracy, there's all kinds of tzaras. Every day you hear some mishigna gets up and is killing people. It's crazy. And the machloek is now the country. The country is more advanced than it ever was before, but there's never been so much anger and fighting in machlokes like you have now, with all of the social contract that democracy brought, and that people agree and people make shalom, because it's not shalom, it's not real shalom, it's not shalom panimi, it's each side giving in order that we don't destroy each other. So we make an agreement, we make a contract, in order that we should, like America and Russia, it's such shalom. So this way nobody presses the wrong button, that's all. They don't want anybody to press the wrong button. That's not called shalom. You have families like that too, where the husband knows if he presses the wrong button, she's going to go nuts. If she presses the wrong button, he's going to go nuts. So they have shalom bayis. Of course, he gets her flowers for Shabbos. And that's called shalom bayis, because that, you know, flowers, that's the main way to bring shalom bayis. If you ever hear the speeches, that's the main thing in shalom bayis, to make sure you get flowers. So they also put flowers on a person when he's in the grave too. It's the same thing. So that's not shalom bayis. That's shalom bayis. just that we're in check, that we don't press the wrong button. Because I gave in, you gave in, I get enough of what I want in order to be able to survive, you get enough of what you want in order to be able to survive. That's called shalom. That's not called shalom. That's not called shalom. That's how countries live, and that's how in society, that's not called shalom. Ela hayfas hadvarim b'sokfa. Shalom means when each one can be himself, with all of his koiches intact, contributing his koiches, contributing her koiches in a marriage. But mitoch skira achdusis pnimis, and together, since they're bound together at the root, at the shoresh, they're able to understand that by each one of us using our koiches towards this common goal that we have, which is the one from which everything comes and everything returns. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what's going to be Mashiach comes. When the Navi describes, what I call them, Shechem Echad and Sofa Achas, that everybody's going to be together, the whole world is going to be, everything's going to be at peace. But it says, V'garze Efim Kevish, right? So it gives a mashal, the Rambam says a mashal, that the wolf and the lamb are going to be able to hang out together, right? V'garze Efim Kevish, and they're going to hang out together, the wolf and the lamb. Which the Rambam says is a mashal of the Jewish people, which is the lamb, and the nations of the world, which was the wolf, that we're going to be able to be together, to live together. So what does that mean? That there's going to be a change. That's a very big machlokes. This machlokes in Chazal. What does it mean? Vishbati chai raman aretz. What does that mean exactly? Is the animal, the teva, is going to change? Does it mean that the wolf is no longer going to be a wolf? The wolf is going to lose his identity as a wolf. He's not going to have the koiches of a wolf. Does it mean that the lamb is not going to have the sweetness and the gentleness of a lamb? That's not what it means. The lamb is going to be, when Mashiach comes, completely a lamb. Completely a lamb. With all of the beauty and gentleness of that animal. And the wolf is going to be completely a wolf. With all of the fierceness of that animal, whatever it is, it's going to have all of that. But how are they going to be able to hang out together? The Gar Zeivim Kervis, the terrace is, because at that time, Hashem Lakeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad Ushma Echad, Hashem will be one. That means that all of the koiches of the Zev and all of the koiches of the lamb are not used to destroy or to neutralize or to fight with each other or to run one after each other, one from the other one after the other. It's all going to be used for that single tachlis of Gilui Kvod Malchus Hashem. Of Hashem Lakeinu Hashem Echad. Now, we can't even understand that in our way of thinking it. That doesn't make sense. And that's why it's a question. That promise of Hishbati Chayir Arman Haaretz, that Hashem is going to remove the Chayirah, does it mean that he's going to change the nature of animals? The Rambam doesn't say. You know, the Rambam is very much against these kind of things. The Rambam goes like at least in the first times, the first half, Tkuf of Mashiach, he goes like Shmuel, that there's not going to be any supernatural changes in the world. So how will that be? The nature of the Zev is not going to change. That means the nature of a person is not going to change. So how are you able to make shalom? How could there be shalom? This is a Zev and this is a Kevis. How are you able to make shalom? It says because the Zev has tremendous, tremendous karchas, and the Zev, the wolf, has brought tremendous things to the world. That midah of the wolf has brought tremendous things to the world. The question is what to do with that midah, and how to incorporate into the tov haklali, into the tov haklali. I remember there was a bocher when I was growing up in high school, and he was just like he was every teacher's nightmare. This guy, every teacher's nightmare. It turns out that he's a very, very successful guy. It could be he's still the nightmare of a lot of people, but he's a very successful person, and he supports a lot of institutions. He's a bal staka, but. But he just made it very hard for that. And I remember we had this old Jewish history teacher. He was like Jewish history himself. He was so old. And he was always saying the same thing over again. It was Rachmanis. But so this guy was very hard on him, very hard on him. And he was like a Leibniker guy, but very hard on the old rabbi. And once the rabbi just gave a krechs, the professor, and he just gave a krechs, and he said to him, the guy's name was Nassanel. He said, Nassanel, if only you would use all of your all of your koiches for good instead of evil. And the Sal said, what? He said, you have so much koiches, you should use it for good and not for evil. So he just said, okay, I'll try. I'll try. Which he does. The mice, he does. Eh? He does a lot of good things, this guy. The keves, the zev, the koiches, shalom doesn't mean that koach of that particular person or that nation is neutralized, like you'll take a dog that shouldn't be any children. It doesn't mean that it should be without the koiches. It means that there will be an aura in the world where everything will function with all of its koiches intact, and all of those koiches are going to be used for the purpose of hatov haklali, hatov haklali, hatov haklali. And that's the meaning of shalom. That's what shalom really is. That's what he's explaining. Mitoch skira achdusis pnimis, through a deep understanding, excuse me, analysis, achdusis, skira achdusis pnimis, of echad, and a pnimis de goe. The Rav Kook says, his achdusan shall call hatvias amasarios, this unity of all ethical demands, expectations, and hopes, hamiskansas belibo shall call yitzur, will gather together in the heart of all that exists. But Carlos says, "Kol akvutzas echerosios, echeros," and this achdus will include all social groups, all countries, all people, all kvutzas echerosios. Va'ma'achdus says, "Kol ha'olamim," that will bring together, that tzaddik shel olam will bring together into one, kol ha'olamim, all worlds. So Rav Avinir explains. All of these different definitions of right, wrong, all different systems of value systems and so on. Hein lamito shadover tviya musaris achas. Really, they're all seeking one thing, hatov ha'elyon haklali. That tov. They're mistaken. There are terrible mistakes that are being made in how to define what the tov ha'kloli ha'elyon is, because if you're not connected to the elyon, then you define tov. Tov could be anything. Tov could be anything. And there are all kinds of communism and socialism and social nationalism. Those are all, they all felt that they were creating the tov ha'kloli ha'elyon. But of course, there's only one that knows what the tov ha'elyon is, and that's ha'elyon, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator. Choshev lahadgish kenenu oskim kan b'halochas protius ela b'tochnim musari mashenirim misnagshim v'onim nasim lahashkin shalom b'neim. He says, Rav Kook is not talking here about particular details and how to work out these details, but rather, in a broad and general sense, the belief that we have that all of these all of these ideals that appear to be clashing with each other, that shalom can be made between them, even before Mashiach comes. Not, of course, the way that it's going to be when Mashiach comes, but there can be much more shalom. Hashalom efshari b'amtzos ha'avana. Shalom is only possible by understanding ki hakol nove mitoichen musari elyon yoser. That everything is flowing from a toichen musari elyon yoser. And this has been, in America, in the Western world, this has been going on for quite a few years now, but now it's come to a crazy place where there can't be any tochen musari elyon. You can't have that transcendent definition of right and wrong. That's why you see that the progressives they're so violently opposed to religion. It's interesting. Even though some of them might keep some traditions and they might have, for the holidays, I don't know. But you know, when the governor of New York, which I don't know how come he still has that job, I don't know, but he's the governor of New York, he said a few weeks ago, somebody showed me a clip where he said that, he was the one that brought the cure. He was the one that cured COVID. And he said this was not by, you saw what he said? He said this was not because of faith or fate, and this was not because of God. It was because of me, not because of God. And she spoke the same way, Clinton. She spoke these lashonas, these diburim against religion, which the average typical American person, the mostly believing people, the mostly are to some degree or another are God-fearing religious people. America, for the most part, is a religious country. But it's been hijacked by people who are very afraid of religion. Because religion means whatever that religion is. But religion claims that there is some transcendent definition of good, and the left can't have that because that upsets them. That makes them feel bad, because then you're saying that the way that they're behaving is bad. In other words, if the guy wants to marry his boyfriend, which I have nothing against that chever doing that, they do whatever they like. It doesn't bother me. I don't think they should be treated any differently than anybody else. But they want that. It's not enough that he should be able to marry his boyfriend, that she should marry her girlfriend. That's not enough. That should be tov. That's tov. That's where they're going. Where they've gone with all of this is to redefine tov based upon relativism, which means masha tov li, ze ha tov. Masha tov li, ze gam ha tov shelcha. Yeah? Oh, and if you don't fit into their gospel, you're the biggest Russia. Look what they did to Trump. Look what they did to him. I didn't agree with a lot of things. He's crazy, but look what they did. Look how they couldn't be soivel him. Look how they couldn't be soivel him. My wife was telling me last night. There's some. I don't know if she's a congresswoman, Walters. I don't know. Waters. Yeah. I don't know. I never saw. I don't know who she is. So she was saying. My wife read to me, she said something the other day about how if the trial didn't come out the way that they wanted, with this Floyd, if it didn't come out the right way that they wanted, then she was basically saying, it's going to be Labor Day, right?
Riots in the street.
Not peaceful.
She's going to see something like, now when Trump didn't even say social shyness. I read exactly what Trump said, that he didn't say that, and he was impeached. And she said this. And the headmistress over there, Pelosi, she says, "Ain't oymer vein devarim." It's a frightening thing that's happening. We can make jokes and laugh about it. It's a pacha because to them, any transcendent definition of good is the most dangerous thing in the world, because they're out of business completely. There can't be a tov ha'elyon ha'klali. Until recently, America had. Based upon the founding fathers of this country, who were very religious people. Again, that doesn't mean they were tzaddikim, but they were religious people. They believed in religion. They believed in a transcendent God, and they believed in certain values. Marriage is a value. A marriage is a zochen and a keva. Does that mean that there's not a certain inyan in the world where zacharim, zacharim, nekevas, nekevas? It's an inyan. It's a taiva. There are other taivas, but it's a taiva. It's a little tov. It wasn't anything that parents got nachas from, not Jews and not goyim. There was an Indian in the world like that. That's not good for these people. That is the tov. Now that is tov. That is tov. So this Congress lady can get up and say that if it doesn't come out the way that we want, well, maybe the officer. I don't know the pratim of this case at all. I didn't read up about it. But maybe the guy choked him or something, right? So he held him in a... He kneeled on him. So maybe he was right. Maybe he was right in doing that. I don't know. I wasn't there. Sounds like from what I was told that from some of the things they have, this guy, even though they made him now into a saint, this guy was not anybody you wanted to have for a Muslim, and you understand. He was. So who are we talking about over here? And so maybe the officer was right. No, but she got up and said... He better be the court better see to it that this officer was wrong. What we had a thing called America called a trial. Trial, we try to understand. We try to get to the truth. The truth has to come out. It better come out the right way. The truth. If it doesn't come out the way that we say the truth is, meaning that this guy was murdered in cold blood by a cruel officer. If it doesn't come out according to this narrative, we're going to kill you. No, we're going to break your windows in the stores. This was in Minneapolis, right? Mm-hmm. The whole Minneapolis is boarded up. They had to bring in thousands of National Guard. Because it better come out, and that's how it came out, right? That's what they paskin?
Yeah.
Sure. They were already threatening the lives of people that they found out were on the jury.
They didn't even think about it. The ruling was like the next day. They didn't even...
It has nothing to do with the truth.
They did that right. They just...
There's nothing to do with other... So this guy's going to go to jail. I know this officer... it's not going to happen. In the end, they'll figure something out. But it looks like he's going to have to go to jail and sit in jail. And I don't know. It could be lawyers. I don't know. I'm saying, but it has nothing to do. The truth has to come out according to the way that we define the truth. Because if the truth is not according to the way that we understand the truth, we're going to kill you. It was never like that in America. It was like that in many other places. It was like that in Russia. It was like that. It was like that in Nazi Germany. It was never like that in America. You could talk about what you like. You could say your opinion. Let's figure it out. Let's try to get to the Echad. Let's try to get to the Nekuda HaPnimis. Let's try to get to the Sherish. The founding fathers felt that that was an Echad based upon the Bible. This Chevra, they don't want the Bible. Oh, they don't want anything to do with the Bible. They don't want anything to do with the Bible because the Bible says that I'm not good. The Bible says I'm not good because this is a girl that's married to a girl and the Bible says it's not good. It's a boy married to a boy. The Bible says it's not good. So they don't want to have that because it says I'm not good. There's no absolute values anymore. This is what Moshe Kapel is writing about with Shimon and Heidi. There's no, in the book, there's no absolute values. The whole Musa, the whole concept of the Western world now is, it's your call. It's your value. It's not good, bad, right, wrong. It's not emes sheker. It's im ze tovli. Ech ani margish. How do I feel? How does this make me feel? How does this make me feel? And this is spilling over into our world as well. As per the grant that's being offered to people who want to come back to shul, to try to get people to come back to shul, that this idea that... Well, right now, shul doesn't work for me. Doesn't work for me. Well, why not? No. Shabbos is 2.5 hours. Kiddush hasn't been so great lately. I can't stand most of the Balei Tefillah. The rabbi is getting on my nerves. I can't take any of this. So now, it's a lot tovli. So now this chevra, the tent dwellers, are coming up with all kinds of explanations of why this is the Ratzon Hashem. This is a lechatchila, not to go back to shul. Well, I'm talking about when it's safe. I'm not only talking about when it's safe. I don't mean, God forbid, if somebody's not safe. But they're going to come, because this has spilled over into Yiddishkeit as well. It's no longer the ultimate absolute value of Chazal, of Halacha. It's zelo tovli. It doesn't work for me. I can't stand when people use that lashon. This doesn't work for me. This doesn't work for you. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't work for you. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for you. But this is exactly what Rav Kook is talking about. And this is what's happening in the modern... we're watching this unfold. This must be like the last stage before Mashiach comes. There's going the gilui of what the Tova Klalia Elyon. There can't be a Tov unless there's an Elyon. You can't have that. There cannot be a Tov unless there's an Elyon. Because then everybody says, what is Tov? That's what I like. That's Tov. That's exactly what he's explaining. So he gives an example. He says, Shalom can only come when there's this realization that Tov can only be defined by that Tochen Musari El Yon Yoser, by a higher definition. When you surrender and you acknowledge that I don't know what the ultimate good is. I don't know what absolute good is. I don't know. But there is one who does know. There is one who does know. Now, of course, the Muslims can use that like this, and the Christians could use this like that. And that's been a problem throughout history. Although the Rambam says at the end of Mishnah Torah that Sof Kol Sof, it is still bringing the world closer to that absolute Tov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as Christianity and Islam, despite all the tzaros that they brought to the world, Sof Kol Sof, they're in the sugya of Hashem Echad, right? Christians not as much as the Muslims. The Muslims are very much connected to the inyan of one God. The Christians less. depending which denomination, but the Muslims are much more connected to Hashem Echad. So the Rambam says, even though we have so much service from Esav and Yishmael, but Sof Kol Sof is still better than Avodah Zarah. Because by Avodah Zarah, that's the Congress lady. That's Avodah Zarah. Because there, every single person is like their own statue. Every single idea. This is Tov. At least Christianity and Islam recognize that there's a Tov HaElyon HaKlali. There is such an inyan. But there are terrible mistakes that come from the days of paganism that fill Christianity to the top. And in Islam, there's they're much less, but there's still ingredients of paganism that are in Islam. And because of that, even though they have tried to establish a transcendent truth, that transcendent truth that each one has tried to establish has caused millions and billions of innocent people to get killed. Nevertheless, the Rambam says, they're in the sugya of Tov. They're in the sugya of the truth. Mashiach came paganism, which every single person just says, this is it, my God. There's a God of the sun, there's a God of the moon. There's every single chevra is his own God. Every single person has their own back, has a bum in their own backyard, have their own God, they have their own statue. Now, what's going on with this, with the woke and the cancel culture and progressive, all this stuff, that's Avodah Zarah mamish. That's like ancient Avodah Zarah. That's paganism. That's paganism mamish. There's no transcendent echad. Every single one has a bum in his own backyard. You build your own statue in your backyard. Of what's Tov Lecha, that's mamish Avodah Zarah. Ancient Avodah Zarah is now. It's coming back, which we already know from before, that before Mashiach comes, there will be a resurgence of such an Indian. And there's a big nisayin that before Mashiach comes, not to allow this to come, chas v'chalila, into our way of thinking, into our lives, which is happening. It's happening within Orthodox Judaism. It's happening. It's the whole thing that's called open orthodoxy. That's what they call themselves, open orthodox. And I don't mean chalila, anything should happen to any of them. They should all be chalila. No, they're all yidden, and everything should be good. I don't mean chalila. Nothing should be bad by anybody. But the musad of that musag, where there's no longer, it's that you could call yourself orthodox, and you're no longer bound to the Shulchan Aruch. You're no longer bound to the Shulchan Aruch. That, in other words, because they're lo tovli, because the Shulchan Aruch passing them in a way that's not good for me. Why? It's not working out, because it could be that my son wants to marry a guy and my daughter wants to marry a girl. So it's lo tovli. So, and I want to be able to be the Masada Kedushin, you understand? The rabbi wants to be Masada Kedushin. So, therefore, he has to come up with a new definition of Tov. Is that Tov? This is unbelievable what's happening. This is all what's going on right now in the Western world. There's no Elyon. There's no Tov Elyon. So how could there be Shalom? So you would think that everybody being so sensitive, because after all, everybody now is very sensitive, right? You can't say, you have to take out all the M-E-N, if it says man or men, you have to take out. You can't call yourself the Washington Redskins. Somebody told me, is that true? Go on. Dr. Seuss. Finished. Dr. Seuss is finished. Why? It's not nice. Dr. Seuss is not nice. I don't remember anything. Dr. Seuss is not nice. It was one of my favorite books. Dr. Seuss, but it's not nice. I don't know what he did, but he made fun of somebody. I'm not sure. And the Redskins is making fun of the Indians, whatever it might be, or the color of their skin. So you would think there was so much love and so much sensitivity and so much caring. You would think that there would be so much shalom in the world. There's never been so much fighting, so much. I don't mean among barbaric tribes in Africa. I'm talking about, look what happened in this last election. People are killing each other, like talking diburim of destruction, of terrible things. Everybody's so sensitive. All the people are the ones with the most sensitivity. They were saying things about threatening Trump's life, saying terrible things. They don't disagree with you anymore. If you don't agree with these people, you are a Russia. You should be destroyed. That's what the congresswoman is saying. If you don't go along with our definition of truth, the streets are Hefka. That's the threat. The truth has to come out according to our definition of the truth, not according to reality. And the saddest thing of all, of course, they're doing the greatest disservice to their own chevra, because the truth is, they need a lot of help. Why are they mass producing guys like that Floyd? Why are they mass producing Chavre like that? If you really want to get help, and you need to talk the truth and see what can we do to help these people and to work with their communities and to do something to save these people from killing each other, because they're killing each other 99% of the time. Not they're killing each other, but that's not the truth. There's a different definition of the truth. The truth is, white supremacist. Every white person is a racist. Every white person is a racist. Are they racist? Yes. America's a racist country? Go to someplace else. You'll see what racism is. America's a racist country. But it's just writing everything over. So how could there be shalom? There's absolutely no transcendent truth. It's all relative to what makes you feel good, what makes you feel that you're matzliach. So now, how do you figure out who's going to get into that spot in the Ivy League school? Not necessarily the one that's brighter, the one that's worked harder. I mean, a leap of the emes, the one who works harder and is brighter should get that spot in the school. He worked for it. She worked for it. Hashem gave him a good head, and he worked for it. That's his place in the school. Nope. No more. The problem is, in China and Japan, they still hold like that, you understand? They still hold it goes according to seichel, to merit. There it's still based upon merit. In America, they're trying to do away with that. That's why, if things go the way they are, America is going to lose to China, Japan, hands down. Finished America. Because it's no longer based upon koiches and seichel and avoida and hard work, but it's based upon making me feel good. So you see what's happening. Look at the people who are running the country. The people that are running the country. Making them feel good, just to make people feel good. It's not about who has the qualifications to run the country. That's what it is. That's exactly what he's talking about. Gam Hashalom, Shitchei Eretz Yisrael. So of course, Rav Avinir comes back to Shleimus Haaretz and the territory of Eretz Yisrael. Habayos, so the whole question of giving up land and not giving up land. Habayos, Hasosalios, the social problems, Limud HaTorah. And so on, people staying and learning, not learning, going to the army, not going to the army, all these issues that are burning in Eretz Yisrael, burning in very strongly in Eretz Yisrael, and this tremendous machlokes about all these things in Eretz Yisrael. Akedekach, look what the state of Eretz Yisrael is, that the outcome of the elections depends upon Arabs. You know that? The outcome of the present elections in Eretz Yisrael depends upon not Jews, it depends upon if the Arab is going to go with Likud, is going to go with the other. It depends on Arabs. How did we come to such a thing? Because the Jews were all fighting with each other, and it came out that the who's going to be in charge over there in the government is depending upon Arabs. Sinai Yisrael. That's what it depends on. How did it happen such a thing? Because the Jews were the machlokes, and they can't come to any place of shalom. And because of that, the Arabs are going to decide who's running the Knesset. That's what's happening. I don't know what the latest, but that's what seems to be going on right now. Because the Likud can't, they need the Arab. Everybody needs these Arabs in order to get enough seats. So Arabs? They shouldn't even be there at all. And or if they're there, they should be quiet. No. These are terrible problems. Kulam se'ifim shel dover echad v'ukor ha'chaim shel am Yisrael. There in Eretz Yisrael, the question is, what's the koch ha'chaim of the Jewish people? This is the place of Am Yisrael. School as Yisrael, this is the place of the school of Am Yisrael, the greatness. Shleimus Yisrael. Hadavar achosh v'gilui nishmas Yisrael. But the most important thing is, with all of the greatness of the Jewish people, with all the intelligence, all the ingenuity of the Jewish people, and with all the blessings of Hashem that have brought us back to our country, we're tearing each other apart. The country's being torn apart. Because what? There's one thing that we haven't found, and that's Nishmas Yisrael, the Baruch Shalom. Nishmas Yisrael. Gilui Nishmas Yisrael. B'shvil HaTzarech Shalom. Emes. Demokratia. Lima Torah. And part of Nishmas Yisrael wants there to be guys sitting in kolo. Nishmas Yisrael wants there to be people who are out working. Nishmas Yisrael wants there to be people who are serving in the army. These are things that have come from the Torah of Ha'el Yenakloli. But all of these different groups have divided themselves and are building bombers in their backyards, you understand? Everybody has his own bomber. The only tov is, everybody should be learning. That's the tov. The only tov is, everybody should be serving in the army. He's not right. Not everybody should be learning, not everybody should be serving in the army. This one says, everybody should be like that. Everybody should be like that. Everybody should be from. Everybody should be chiloni. Everybody. And fighting and killing each other. So you have the holiest people in the world, the smartest people in the world, the kindest, most wonderful people in the world, in the place that Hashem finally brought us back after all the tzaras of all of the years that we've gone through. We're finally able to be back home, and we're at war with each other. And an Arab is going to decide who's going to be the Knesset. Yeah, Israel.
So, Yeretz Yisrael, it seems, you know, what I see is that the problem is really, more than anything, leadership, not in the people. I think there's much less of that feeling among, you know, from the bottom up.
So yeah, absolutely.
It's very strange.
And because it depends upon the tzaddik. It's the same thing in every school. When you talk to parents, the vast majority of parents have a pretty good idea of what would be best for their kids. I found that to be that parents have a pretty good sense of what's best for their kids. The problem is, how do you make that work in an institution? So every institution is like a mini country. So from the bottom up, I've always found that the Hamoin Am, the rank and file, they have a very strong intuition of what Tov is. Leadership is everything. The leadership is the inin of the tzaddik. The tzaddik has to make shalom. The tzaddik, as Rav Kook talks about all the time, the tzaddik has to bring out all of the kaiches and all that what Rav Kook is talking about. And in the absence of leadership, there can't be shalom. That's why what Rav Kook is saying is that when you have that transcendent, not just Hashem, but in that community, in that school, you have that transcendent, respected and loved leader who understands the chevra, so then he's able to make shalom. Because all eyes are turned to the tzaddik. But when you don't,
Hashem. I mean,
ultimately, Hashem.
That a lot. Everybody turns to Hashem.
Yeah, of course, I'm saying that. That's what I said before. But I'm talking about in this earthly situation. Of course, it could only work when the tzaddik's eyes and everybody's eyes are turned to Hashem. But I find the same thing. I could daven in a minyan in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm someplace, and there's Sfardim and Chassidim and Kollel guys and Kippot Shvugot. Everybody's like this. You feel totally at home. I have no problem with anybody here. We're all like, you know, hey, how you doing? No problem. But when it gets into the institutions of these different people, into their moizdis, then it becomes a milchama. It's like that, and you can see that in every moizdis. You can see that in a shul also. It's the same thing in a shul. In every institution, you have that. And what happens then is that without leadership, then people start building their own altars. They just build their own altars, their own groups, their own altars, and they get more splintered and more divided, and there's more and more machlokes. And if you get rid of all those bombers and you sit these people in one room, which when Iranian missiles are, God forbid, aimed towards us, then all of a sudden all those little things fall apart and everybody's back together. But that's crazy. They should have to come to that. You have to be threatened in order to remember who you are, that to remember that nekuda of Am Yisrael. But this is what's going on. So he explains hakol mekayvin leinyan echad gilui koich hapnimi shel Am Yisrael lachen harachim halalu enam soyesim. Therefore, there's no steerer between learning Torah. There's no steerer between going to the army and learning Torah. There's no steerer between a shtreimel and a hat and a kippah seruga. There's no steerer between these values. There's no stira. On the surface, and without the leader that understands the underlying nakuda that draws them, that brings them all together, so on the surface, so then it's filled with stiras. Yes, there could be differences in opinion regarding halacha. Should you give back parts of Eretz Yisrael? Should you not give back? So you have different poskim say like this and say like that. That's of course true. Again, tzarich levaris halacha, and we try each one respectfully with the rav or the posek that he feels comfortable with to be mevar the halacha. Ulam habiru evshari hayos ve'enam soyesim b'makar. And the only way that you could be mevar the halacha, we have no problem if there's a machlokes when the Rabbi Moshe Feinstein or Rabbi Avad Yosef. Who is it? Someone has a problem with that? So the students of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and the students of Rabbi Avad Yosef can't marry each other, can't love each other. So and in this house they could eat rice, in this house on Pesach, in this house they don't eat rice. That's not going to undermine the shalom between Jews. There's no stira. Each posek is mevar d'halacha. You follow that posek, and as long as the other Jew is mevar d'halacha. With a person who's qualified to do that, so then we all get along with each other. Beisham Beisil, they married each other. Beisham Beisil. It's not like now that nobody can be soivel anybody else. Beisham Beisil had big machlokes in halacha, and they married each other. The children, they went to chasnas, they were dancing together, they got along with each other, and they fought in halacha, they argued in halacha, but they married each other. They were b'shalom. They lived b'shalom, complete shalom. Sometimes there's an argument between people and you can't get them to agree because they're so different, the nekudas are so different. But if the point of origin is identical, if they come from the same beginning, you could always then make peace. If they come from the same sherish, you could always make peace. Now, when there's an argument, it happens. When you're having an argument, so you can have an argument between some Galiciana Jew and some Hungarian Jew, and they're fighting, going crazy with each other, because in the course of the argument, they're talking about surface things, and there are big differences between a Galician and Hungarian, and they're fighting about these things. But of course, in the shorash of who they are, and you don't have to go very deep down, in the shorash of who they are, they're the same. But a chassid, a misnagid, a sfarad, an ashkenazi, and the sharish, everything is one. The nekudas that they're fighting about, there are a million different views in the nekudas. V'im kein lo nita lasa sholem ben hadeyas. So it's very hard to make sholem. Matzav zeh choshuv levar bira amok em akif ben yisoyen limsa nekudas might say zeh. Any peacemaker, any true leader, any great leader, anybody in that position of a great leader, has to be able to uncover the zehut, the identity, the underlying identity that his chevra shares. You have to uncover that. The leader has to uncover that nekuda hapnimis. If he doesn't uncover that nekuda hapnimis, then there's going to be constant warfare with all the nekudas that are on the surface, because everybody's different. But to get to the shayrish, that's what the leader has to do to get to the shorish. And there's a terrible, terrible shortage of those types of leaders. There's a, in the world, bichlal, and in Am Yisrael, terrible, terrible shortage. Terrible shortage. We have people now that call themselves leaders, and they have all kinds of things. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chavetz Chaim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Satmar Rebbe, all these tzaddikim, they had their own shitas. But by them, every single Jew was Amish, a Ben Bayis. Every Jew is a Ben Bayis. Every Jew is Amish, like a son and a daughter. Well, the Sabbath Rebbe had very strong shitas, but every Jew was Mamish, a son and a daughter. When you came to him, you needed help. Well, it was Mamish, his child. Now you have, just like it's God forbid, like it's happening, the Democrats can't be servile, the Republican can't be servile. You have from people like this also. But they can't be servile, the other one at all. They can't be servile, the other person at all. And you have to daven in a shul. You have to be in a place where everybody has to be of a certain type, or else it's not my chevra. It's not my chevra. It has to be the same. The same meaning on the surface, they have to be the same. Everybody has to look the same on the surface. Because there's such a weakness in this whole new way of thinking, that if we don't agree with each other, we can't daven together. We can't daven together. If you vote differently than me, I can't daven with you. if you look different than me, if you're a Sfadi, you're not, if you're vote this way, like this, we can't daven in the same. If you're a different age than me, we can't daven together. There's not enough that you haven't come, even though the guy's 10 years older than you. I just had this conversation with Chasni the other day. Someone was telling me, we're talking, you know, you always, Jews talk. He says, so where do you daven? So I asked him, where do you daven? So he told me he davened someplace. I said, good, you're happy there? He said, not so much. So I said, he lives in a place where every block there are shuls. So I said, so you know, what's, he said, no, but that's my chavre. So why aren't you happy? He said, Emma says there's a lot of talking by davening, and it's not, they're not so serious about learning. So why do you stay there? It's my chevra. I don't know what that means. Aryans between the age of 24 and 30. White, Aryan, 24 to 30, who are making more than $250,000 a year. What does that mean? The shul is for davening and learning. You tell me that's not working for you. It doesn't work for him, the davening and learning. But he has his chevra. What is that? I mean, it's spilling over into our world. It's mamish, a pachah, what's going on? It's spilling into our world. How do we define ourselves? How do we look at ourselves? Let's just finish the sentence. Kol masha. I'm sorry. You need to understand some of the ideas. B'matzav zechoshul, right? Fine. The kol ma'ariv Kook says the kol ma'ashet tigdal b'yosas di reben hakar la'akar b'maseches musaros lechaverta kochet tigdal ha'arigal lo'emek hashalom shlahen. The bigger the differences that we find between this day, this way of thinking, and that way of thinking, the greater the longing to come to a place of peace. The greater the longing, the greater we need to recognize how desperately we have to come to that tov ha'elyon haklali. The deeper the apparent conflict is, therefore, dafka, when you find that on the surface there's the biggest arguments, you can come to the deepest peace. When you get to the sherish, you can come to the greatest peace, the strongest and highest level of peace. Because that's the omek, the deepest shalom is when you get beneath all of the differences on the surface to that true shalom that is there at the core of these different chavras. Rav Kook ends, we're all waiting and we're all ready to return to that makar, to that source, that transcendent source, and to draw from the waters of salvation with a great thirst. And when we get to those waters of the ultimate good of Hashem, it will be like somebody who's weary and hot, who's able to have a drink, a cold drink. Kemayim karam al nefesh ayefa, shmua toiva me'eretz merchak. Good news comes from a distant land, from the one who you thought was so distant from you, and is actually your friend. That's like cold water when you're tired, right? You're exhausted, and then you're revived. You thought this person was against you. You thought this person was rachok, was far away. He's not far at all. V'nikra shmo pela yoreitz avi arz ha-shalom. And one of the ways that we speak about Hashem is pela yoreitz. Hashem is a wondrous advisor. Pela always means when you bring opposites together, like rofe kol boso or mafli lasos. Pela means when you bring two opposites together. Hashem is called pela yoreitz. Also Mashiach, pela yoreitz, the wondrous advisor, avi arz ha-shalom, the prince of peace. Mashiach is the prince of peace. Hashem is the prince of peace because he advises in a wondrous way. The advice of Hashem is shalom. Avi ad sa'ar shalom. That's the sa'ar shalom. The prince of peace is Mashiach Zekeinu. Hashem is melech sa'ar shalom shalom, because that's the only way there can be peace. We should be zeichen as Hashem. Amen.